All right, everybody, welcome back to the Crossroads of Liberty podcast.
Welcome, guys. Today, we have our guest, Control Pew, famously known for being that guy that everybody asked, how do I 3D print this thing? You want to introduce yourself, our friend?
Yeah, so I'm Control Pew. I print guns and stuff. I'm the admin of ControlPew.com. We publish all the goings on with regarding like new file drops or various media events surrounding 3D printed guns and the Deterrence Defense and DefCAD and Defense Distributed groups. Yeah, kind of all over the board.
I can say personally that while I do not 3D print anything for legal reasons, I have investigated these websites. They're pretty cool. Anyone else have?
No, have not.
James?
No, I haven't checked out the websites. I would like to eventually get a printer, and then once I have a more practical reason to go searching on the websites, I definitely want to. And this will be the first place I go, but at the moment, I've seen a couple plans here and there, but haven't done much of a deep dive yet at the moment.
Yeah. I mostly 3D print other miscellaneous things, but Control Pew, you want to explain to us, for people that don't really know, which I'm thinking most people do, but just for like the one hillbilly that listens to our podcast from the Pineland, what 3D printing is and how you can get into it?
Yeah, so there's a couple different types of 3D printing. The most common one that you're going to see is called FDM. Now I've drawn a blank. Sorry. Basically the filament that you order, the plastic, comes in a big spool, like a giant noodle, and it feeds it into a hot end, which melts it. And the hot end moves around in three dimensions over a build surface, and it extrudes a slightly melted plastic in a series of layers, so you could stack those layers up and create a three-dimensional object.
Right.
That's cool.
That's the 1,000-level view of what 3D printing is. Our application of it specifically, we're focused around firearms, around high temperature, high stress implementations of 3D printed materials. So when you think about like a Glock handgun, right, we have models to replace the frame of that handgun. So all the internal parts, your trigger, your barrel, your slide, those are still going to be factory parts. We're going to replace the grip. And the thing that holds all of that together, which under U.S. law is the serialized part, and that makes it, it allows you to build it at home. It allows you to do it, the way the Second Amendment was intended, without any government oversight or additional regulation.
Yeah.
Okay. So it'll just remove what would normally be like a serial number then, yes?
Is that basically, yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
Nice.
The rules around building your own gun, it's if you build it, you build it exclusively for your personal use.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are no guidance or regulation around markings or serialization or registry. Okay. At the federal level. Your state level may vary. Do your own research. These laws change frequently, but currently at the federal level, there's no marking or serialization or registry required.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, we are screwed in Jersey, though.
Yeah. That's a sad thing.
Jersey is almost another country at this point.
Honestly, I mean, every other state hates us. Even I hate us. It's crazy.
Same.
Isn't your guy Menendez? Is he your one of your senators?
Senators?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I honestly forgot he existed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We I bring this up because it's kind of funny. he went after Ivan the Troll as one of our more senior devs in the Deterrence Dispense community. He had cited some work that Ivan did, and then in response, Ivan made the Menendez Glock magazine. So it's a 3D printable Glock magazine that takes a spring you can order off the internet for $1. And we've got a Glock 26 version, so the 10 round, a 15 round, a 17 round, and a 30 round magazine, all named after your lovely senator.
Well, I'm sure he's honored.
For one thing. Yeah, I mean, New Jersey's not exactly the most gun-friendly state in the union. I mean, by far, it's one of the least friendly other than California, I guess one could say.
I think we're worse than Cali.
Yeah, in certain ways, yeah.
Yeah, certain ways. I mean, I just don't like Cali as it is. But
Cali has their tax code. That's like
I think we think about California, we expect them to be pretentious assholes about this. You know, we look at the other coast, we're like, eh. You know, maybe they'll be all right, but then you get to Jersey and you're like, nah, just burn it all.
We imported too many Californians. We like their wine so much that they just all came here. It's crazy. Well, I mean, so currently what can now be printed is just, you know, grips and whatnot. Is there any future for possibly like metal 3D printing?
So in its current app, so there are a couple different types of metal 3D printing. When you talk about like FDM, which is your going to be your cheapest application of it, of 3D printing metal, what that is it's really metal, powdered metal suspended inside of a PLA or another basic filament. Yeah. And when you go to print that, it sort of lightly fuses all of that together. All the metal together, but all the plastic is actually like a regular print. And then you have to put that into an oven and bake it for a while longer. And the problem you get with that is you get like a pores inside of the metal. So you have just internal structural weaknesses.
That doesn't sound good.
Yeah, it tends to cause problems when you're talking about high stress, high temperature applications. But I mean, there are, you could make like a cool bracelet or something out of it, but when you talk about like, I'm going to print a barrel or something for a Glock or whatever, you know, it tends to not be so great.
Yeah, no fingers, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need these fingers. I mean,
but on a sort of an adjacent note though, so a recent sort of thing that's come out a couple weeks ago, the FGC9 is.
I think I know about this.
It is. I'm not gonna say it's 100% printed. It's 100% DIY. So there are no firearm parts in the construction.
Yeah.
The closest thing to it is a fire control group that you get out of an airsoft M4 that you order off of AliExpress from China. So it doesn't really count as a gun part. But yeah, the housing, the body of the whole thing is 3D printed. It takes the printable Glock magazines. You buy some relatively innocuous springs and some bits of metal. And then to make the barrel, you buy a piece of, it's called explosion-proof pipe off of AliExpress or another miscellaneous Chinese site. And you use the ECM process that we've put into documentation and sort of proofed out. And you can mill your own, or not mill, you can machine your own barrel at home, basically using electricity and salt water.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts.
Yeah. I mean, that's all I was going to say. I was going to ask about the machining process, because I was about to ask about the FGC9. But
yeah, I wanted to ask about that too. So,
I guess we can deviate a minute and dive into it. So, the basically for the ECM barrel, we are 3D printing the bracketing to hold the barrel in place, and sort of the guide for the water that you would stuff down the bore. So we've got a plastic insert going through the bore that's guiding the water around the barrel in the sort of the pattern of the rifling. Yeah. or around whatever electrode that we put in the barrel. So we have there's a couple of different machining processes that we have to do. There's one to bore it to the appropriate size. There's another process to get to the get the chamber to spec, and then there's a third one to get the rifling in place. Each of these steps requires a different mandrel with a different electrode in there. And basically, what we're printing then is the insulator to keep that current isolated to where it needs to be. And then at the top end, so you've got an aquarium pump pushing salt water down the channel of the barrel. You apply an electric current at the top and at the bottom of the barrel, and then you basically wait an hour and. Pull the thing apart and check it with some calipers and make sure you're to spec. But yeah, there's a pretty thorough guide up on the ECM process. I suggest that you guys grab a copy and spend an afternoon with it. It's kind of wild.
It's crazy how modern technology can do something like that, in my opinion, at least.
It's funny because like this is something that was. Like in the 1600s, that was first applied in the 1600s, and now we can just control it better.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
And like people think the same thing about 3D printing. 3D printing is something that's been around since like the 80s. It's just now come to a point where material is cheap enough and accurate enough. We can make a printer for $200 that will allow you to have enough accuracy to print. An AR-15 lower, or a Glock frame, or any one of the two dozen other firearms that we've got models for.
Yeah. I don't mean to deviate that much, but have you heard of the Folden 3D printed gun? I don't remember what it's called.
Titan Defense.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a printable version of the FMG9.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that, and it was, I'm a little jealous, because it was a project that I've been kicking around, I've just been too distracted with other projects to finish it. But, yeah, that's pretty badass. I hope to see some test fire footage from them soon, because that would be awesome.
Yeah, I was looking into that recently. It seems pretty cool.
I hope they took our frame though, our the Gen 3 frame that we did, and incorporated that, because that would be awesome to keep that same
consistency.
Well, we have so when we did our frames, we realized that there's a metal rail that the slide rides on in the Glock frame. Yeah. So we had to figure out a way to fabricate that, and we came up with a model that you can do it at home pretty easily. It would just be cool if they kept that same spec going, but I haven't actually looked at their files yet, so I need to go do that.
Yeah. I was about to ask something, but it's blanking out on me completely. anyone else want to take over? Wait, no, now I remember. So along with 3D prints and being involved with, manufacturing guns and whatnot, is there any way it could be used in other aspects of agorism? I don't remember how to pronounce it.
Like, 3D printing in general, anytime you need to make something, it can... Material choice can vary, but you can usually come up with something to, if you need to make a complex shape, something that's going to take hours or days to mill or machine, it's probably going to be easier to come off a printer. But I don't know, like, agorism in general, it's all about, from my understanding, it's all about sort of individualizing the, how do I put it?
The market?
Yeah. Yeah. So anytime you get the ability to sort of make something yourself, you can sort of pull stuff out of that I have to buy this from Walmart chain and just, do it in your community. And as more and more trends were that way, we can get more and more sort of homegrown solutions. And some of these solutions are going to be more efficient than models that are out there currently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. That's the whole point of agorism, for sure.
It's also to avoid taxes to collapse the state. That was kind of the original by the founder, but it's definitely expanded into even greater territory.
It's just counter-economic. So obviously tax evasion is one thing. Is like a major point. And then with that you can add on, you know, the individualizing and communalizing, not in the communist meaning of communalizing, but making it more efficient for communities to grow around each other, rather than relying on multi-corp for, you know,
hashtag shop local.
Yeah,
is that a thing for you guys?
Yep.
Yeah.
Our local supermarket chain actually buys stuff from local farmers.
Nice.
At least mine does.
Yeah, I don't have that. We have small stores that we get from. I don't think our supermarket chain does that here.
You don't got a ShopRite?
That's ShopRite?
Yeah, sir. At least the ShopRite chain around me buys from local farmers. At least they used to. I've been there in a week.
Yeah, I know they used to, but I'm not sure how efficient it is for them to do it now.
Yeah. Yeah, it was cool while it lasted, at least. But,
yeah.
I mean, personally, I just asked the agorism question because I knew Joey wanted to, and I wanted to beat him to the punch. I honestly, in personal words, I don't really know that much about agorism. I just think the government's cool, you know? But I find the whole process of 3D printing and manufacturing everything by yourself just to be extremely, while it is defending our rights, certainly, I also find it extremely cool, if that sounds shallow. Because
defending your rights is cool.
It is, sir. Yes, it is. But along with that, I just find, everything you can do with modern, even like you said before, not all of this modern technology is just technology that with other modern stuff we can do way better than we've ever been able to do before. It's just, it's so cool now because this is off of guns, but it's still 3D printing and whatnot. I've been 3D printing mask stuff for medical workers and just family and whatnot because I have plenty of family that has to wear masks every day now because of Corona and whatnot. And I just find it so cool I can do that instead of having to go get a drill, get a lathe and stuff like that, or buy it off of Alibaba. Instead of getting some Chinese sweatshop labor to do it, I can get my electronic sweatshop labor to do it, you know?
Right?
Yeah. Well,
that's good stuff. I'm glad that the that the medical community has sort of adopted this whole 3D printing thing. That was really cool to see.
Yeah. It's definitely, even if you want to get guns completely out of it, which I don't advocate for, obviously, because, we're on this podcast. But even if you want to get out of it, there's so many uses for 3D printing. I mean, for any listener that's fully listening right now, it's not slowly drifting off to sleep, as I say a lot of stuff. I definitely advocate for you just to save up some money, get an Ender 3, just look at some tutorials and just 3D print something. Even if you 3D print like a plastic piggy bank, even if you do that, that was my second print, I think. It was the smallest thing ever, but I was just so impressed that I could do it. Granted, it was kind of malformed because I didn't level my base plate because I didn't know what that was at the time, but just everything you can do with this is cool, and get one. And if you're rich, definitely get one.
Get four.
Get as many as you can, bro.
Right?
I mean, get an Ender 3, get a CR-10. I couldn't care, just get one.
So I dropped a link in the chat. You've opened up a good segue. I'm going to exploit it. So, since we're talking about your first printers, if you go to theguide.controlq.com, And I've bought every permutation of that name, so any way you type it, it'll be fine. You'll get there. But this is the getting started guide that we use. If you're anti-gun, right? We're not even talking about printing guns in this. This is just how to use your printer, how to get the best possible printer you can get for as little money as you can possibly spend.
Yeah.
So, part one, we're walking you through what printer, what filaments, what the things you need to buy to begin. And so our right now the best printer we can find is the Ender 3. It's reliable, it's durable, and it's pretty much out of the box. You put a couple screws in it, and you're good to go. It's not all that difficult to get started. So Ender 3, the basic Ender 3 is fine. It can be had for it could have been had for around $160 before Trumpy bucks and Corona. So now I think they're running around $250, depending on where you go. Amazon's basically sold out. So hunt around. I've got some links on there. You can find it pretty easily. And I'm scouting the internet for more sources as we speak. So moving on from there, though, you'll need a filament. So get a couple spools of Esun PLA Plus or Hatchbox PLA. They're just bang-on consistent filaments. You get pretty good results the entire time through. And then moving on from there, you need a set of calipers. Again, there are links on the page. Again, the guide.controlpew.com. So go there, hit the links. If you want to get into it, spend a little bit of money, and that'll be the good place to start. And then on Thingiverse.com, this is another archive of 3D printed stuff, not necessarily gun stuff, just stuff. There are a bunch of various calibration prints you can do. I like a little 20 millimeter by 20 millimeter by 20 millimeter calibration cube. And it's a real quick print. It'll let you check that all your dimensions are set up properly. And that's basically the step one of getting started. Step two will cover stuff like once you get your printer set up, how to do the fine tuning and how to get it calibrated properly. Part three of the guide covers all the troubleshooting and, hey, my print looks like crap. I don't know what to do. There's a huge clog. I don't understand. You know, so three is a good resource for that. Four is upgrade. So you want a better print. You got a cheap printer. You want to make it a little better. Part four will cover what goes in there. And part five is learning how to make your own 3D models.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I really wish I had all this stuff while starting off, because I messed up more than my fair share. I mean, I currently just got a new base plate, a new glass one, so I'm setting that up right now. But yeah, this is definitely like great stuff for anyone trying to start off right now. I mean, like, you have all the information right now. Now I don't see any reason not to start off other than no money. I mean, if you don't have any money, definitely don't, like, take a loan out and don't start off right now. Like, wait a bit. But this is all great.
Yeah, wait till the next round of Trumpy Bucks comes in. Snag a printer. You'll be fine. I mean,
they're sending out 2,000 soon, aren't they?
I don't know if that passed or not yet.
Yeah, not sure. I know if they're still debating the small business relief fund that they're expecting to be exhausted in 2 days, guys. So, you know.
Just love how the money is managed.
Yep. Doing a fantastic job, Trumpy boy.
Speaking of, I just saw a guy on Facebook say that in a negative way, he's not a fan, but so there was some dumb post about Trump being a libertarian. I was like, calling Donald Trump a libertarian is supposed to be a joke, right? And the guy responded, he's extremely libertarian. Oh,
We don't have to divert too much. But I want it.
Yeah, we don't have to divert too much. I'm just astounded.
Yeah. The shock. I don't.
Yeah. what are, aside from maintenance of the machine, what would utilities cost run for this? Like for a power outage and stuff like that, for a power cost and stuff like that, for normally run. I'm sorry, that was a very poor way of
asking. You got your point across.
Yeah. Do you know anything about that for the people that may be running paycheck to paycheck but wanna, get something started?
I know. Let me look at my thing here.
All right.
So I do a lot of commission work. So people say, hey, I want you to print this for me. Not gun shit. Before you guys call me and ask, or DM me and ask, right? So I guess I'm charging 14 cents for an hour, but that's for print cost. So, I mean, if you had one and ran it 24/7, I don't know that you would see a difference in your power bill.
Okay.
I don't think it's that intensive of a drain.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's...
Yeah.
That's an even better reason. Cool.
Maybe you've had 5 or 6. I'll look more when I get 4 or 5 more if my wife starts yelling at me because the power bill's gone up.
But. Yeah. I can say personally, I mean, I don't manage my own power bill because I'm not saying my age again, but I know that my parents have at least not complained, and I print all the time, so if that says anything.
It's not that bad when you compare to the amount of filament you would go through if you're printing every day. That it's negligible. It's like a mm-hmm. buck. You know what I mean? Gotcha. So
cool. Yeah.
Hey,
I mean,
even better.
So I mostly know about PLA and whatnot because mm-hmm. that's all I got when I got my printer. But right. I do know it's eluding me right now because I'm extremely exhausted. What's the other main filament?
Well, we tell everybody to start printing with PLA Plus.
Yeah.
There's we like Zytel a lot. It's a really, really strong I want to say glass filled nylon.
Oh yeah.
It's a lot harder to work with than PLA Plus. I get messages from people who are like, hey, what filament do I need to get? And they're like, well, what about nylons? Like, have you printed anything? They're like, well, no, I don't have a printer yet. Okay, we'll start with PLA. Right, because if you start with Zytel, you're just gonna burn money, because that stuff is $90 a spool, or $90 a kilogram, whereas your PLA is $20. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely. I mean, PLA's and relatively cheap, I guess. That's what I print with. I mean, I just said that, but that's what I print with because I ain't trying to spend a ton of money on. I mean, I've spent a decent amount already, but. With everything I've used for, I mean, of course I mentioned the medical stuff before that's used regularly. Some other parts that I've used across my house that, like I said before, are eluding me. I can't think right now for some reason, but
right.
Everything has worked well with PLA as long as I use the right settings on my cutter. Speaking of which. What is a cutter, Pew? Because you could probably explain it better than I can.
So, we call them I think you're talking about a slicer, what we call it.
Yes, oh my
but,
god.
It's, so, the base model that most people are going to find is called an STL. It's a dumb mesh. It's a shell of whatever thing you're trying to print. the STL file just contains a shell. What the slicer does, it takes that shell and it cuts it into those layers that we talked about at the very beginning, where it and, you know, you have you're printing in three dimensions, right? And you have each layer is a different vertical, or is the next step up in the vertical, along the vertical piece, vertical axis, whatever it is you're printing. So, how do I put this? Unexpected question. So what the slicer does is it creates each of those layers and stacks them in sequence. So you go from each of those two-dimensional sort of profile cuts into your three-dimensional object.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I'll be completely honest. I didn't really understand how slicer worked. I really made the thing work. So, you know,
right.
I mean, do you have any recommended slicer programs? Personally, I use Cura, but like anything else?
Yeah, Cura is the standard. It's a great one to start with. It's pretty easy to use, or it's probably the easiest one to use. There are a couple more sort of technical ones. Really, just start with Cura. There are ones that do special things for special purposes. Like if you have two or three print heads on your printer, you're printing in different filaments of different colors. There are other slicers that do a better job of those. But for 99% of all the printing, you do start with Cura and use it.
Yeah. Just as a personal recommendation for anyone that's getting like an Ender 3, it does, at least mine did, come with an SD card loaded with the Ender 3 company's Cura version. Don't use it. It's complete and utter garbage.
Yep.
Yeah, don't download anything, but buy the actual version of Cura and download that instead. You'll be much better off and won't waste PLA like I did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why they did that.
Hey, bro, they need to have they need to be like Apple. Everything has to be their own. Get a replacement version when it breaks from them. Stuff like that. I don't know. I mean, anyone else have any questions or anything?
Nah, I'm not too familiar with much of the stuff to even know what questions to ask, so I'm just more like observing.
Likewise.
I mean, like, definitely. Here's my question. Like, why haven't you guys bought 3D printers?
Exactly.
Damn. Honestly, it's been recently, it's been tough times on money where I barely have like $50 of free money. I think I have like $60 in my savings account right now. I used to have like hundreds like 2 years ago, but there's been a lot of economic struggles recently, even before the COVID thing, just like moving around with jobs and stuff. I just haven't had the funds available where it's been something feasible. And then the other biggest thing I'd say stopping me is all of the, if there ever was a reason to print a firearm with it, it's pretty tough to get a parts kit in Jersey because it's not something that the law necessarily permits. So I wouldn't really be able to print much. I mean, I'd be able to print non-tactical stuff with it, but the main reason I'd probably get it would be for that, and I wouldn't really be able to do much in that region due to laws and accessibility to other parts.
That's fair, but
that a parts kit is like $500.
Right. That's fair, but that's also where we have the FGC9.
Yeah.
True. I mean, once I saw that, I definitely considered it more.
It's getting more accessible. We're getting there. Progress. Yeah.
I mean, James, we can always head over to our quote-unquote Pennsylvania cousins and just order one there and then just head back over.
Yeah,
do that's fireworks.
True. Yeah, well, they recently allowed us to have some crappy fireworks in Jersey.
Yeah. Yeah. Some freedoms, at least. I mean, Pew, what do you recommend to people getting into like CAD and stuff? Because personally, I've just used Tinkercad for school stuff and whatnot.
Yeah, we like to recommend either SolidWorks or Fusion 360.
Yeah,
they're just the best. Like, they're hands down the best software you can get. They both have really expensive licenses though for general use. Fusion 360 though does offer a free one for hobbyists, and in part 5 of the guide, we'll walk you through getting that license for free.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've downloaded Fusion 360 before, and I had a student license. I know that's also possibly a thing. I mean, I said this before, I'm going to say it again. It's just, all these things are so cool. I mean, CAD's been a thing longer than I've been alive. It's just computer-assisted design. It's not, like, the most complex thing in the world, but just, like, the current version we have right now. It's pretty amazing. I mean, I just sound like a junkie constantly going off on the, you know, like, awesomeness of everything, but I mean, this is the stuff that like my grandparents were dreaming of in like science fiction and like 300 years from now and whatnot, you know? And just to be alive at the time where it's finally becoming possible for people to take gunsmithing into their own hands, other than, oh, I have a single shot, like a pipe shotgun or something like that, or one of those improvised weapons from, well, what's that British dude's name?
Ludi?
Yes, Ludi. I mean, even his stuff was amazing. I mean,
yeah.
He got arrested eventually, didn't he?
Yeah, he died recently, too.
Oh,
F in chat.
But wow. All his stuff was amazing. I mean, I just keep saying everything's amazing. I think I'm just happy today, but it's just, his stuff was cool, and especially this stuff with everything, like, instead of having to go to gunbroker.com and buying something or getting, like, PSA something and, you know, breaking your upper or something.
Right.
You know, instead I can break my upper by poorly constructing the lower because I got the bed all wrong. But, you know. I forget where I was going with that, but I was going somewhere with that. But I really appreciate the work you do, the work that Ivan does. Just all of it's very cool.
It's our pleasure. We're happy to do it.
Yes, sir. If I had any money, I would donate to you guys. Sadly, I don't get Corona bucks because I'm a dependent. I do technically, but I ain't getting the Corona bucks because parents want other stuff, you know? But,
yeah,
you know, it is what it is. But I recommend to any of you, I was about to say viewer again. God damn, bro, this is a podcast, not a YouTube video. Any listener of the podcast, go maybe not right now. Right now is probably not the right time to get an Ender 3 because I just looked, they're like 350.
Wow.
Maybe wait a bit, because I know when I got mine it was $150. But just, I'll link the guide in the description of this podcast. Go look on there. Just start stocking up on PLA and whatnot. Stock up on upgrades. Get a glass plate, I recommend that. And just all those types of stuff.
Really making me regret buying the body armor.
Oh no, I think that's pretty well.
What'd you get?
Oh, Hoplite, level 4.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm sad. I got AR-500 level 3, but it's steel too. I mean, I got it for free. It was a gift.
Are you trying to like get shanked by your own armor, or like?
Sure.
No, he's trying to frag his friends there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just trying to get Joey's better armor somehow.
Battlefield pickup.
It's just regrets in every direction. Because with the stimulus thing, I put most of it into silver, and then after I got all the silver, I was like, damn, I should have gotten some plates and a carrier. And then after, now I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have gotten plates and a carrier. Should have gotten a printer.
The silver, yeah, silver, not this. Bitcoin now?
What?
Silver, not Bitcoin?
Eh, I mean, well, I think...
James actually has an EMP in the working.
I mean, I think I do. I have probably $250 worth of Bitcoin. And I have some other cryptos thrown in, some Ethereum, some Bitcoin Cash, some basic attention token, like just a whole span of a bunch. But I don't really have any precious metal. And after this, I do think that cryptocurrency definitely has the potential to be the next currency, and I think it's headed in that direction. I just don't think it's quite widespread enough. And also with this Corona thing, the price of when it first happened, the price of Bitcoin, and it hasn't started to go back up yet, but the price of Bitcoin actually went down, whereas the price of gold and silver went up. So I was like, and then throughout every recession all over the world, I mean, in Venezuela right now, there's people diving in sewers trying to find a piece of silver that someone might have broken off their necklace and washed down the sink.
I mean, so, in Venezuela, though, they've been doing that for like 4 years. Well,
yeah, that's this. So. Yeah. But just the fact that silver, and I mean, if I had more money, I would have bought gold instead of silver, because it's like $1,700 an ounce for gold versus like $17 or like $18 an ounce for silver. It's just, silver is just so much more affordable. And then it's also going to be more like liquid in a sense, because if you buy 1 ounce coins, that's like, not exactly, but that would be close to like a $20 bill. So that's much more affordable than a 1 ounce gold coin of gold, than a 1 ounce gold coin being like almost $2,000. Like it's not going to be as spendable or as easily spendable as like silver would be. So
no,
for price and accessibility and usability and liquidity, and then stability as compared to crypto, it just seemed like it was the way to go. But now I do have crypto as well.
On the topic,
when you said silver, I thought you might have been one of those "I hate Bitcoin" kids. But
yeah. Oh no! So
trying to stir up some drama.
Nope. Yeah, no. James is just our precious metal baby, so
yes, sir.
He swears by it.
I'm just everything but fiat, baby. Really.
Gold, silver, brass, copper,
whatever. Lead. In the end of a brass casing.
Yeah, a little bit of uranium tucked away, just in case.
for a rainy day.
Speaking of all this stuff, though, this is wildly off topic, but you guys hear that oil went down?
A lot. To zero?
Yep. Yeah. To negative $20 a barrel? Yeah.
How do I buy oil for negative $20 a barrel?
They pay you $20 to take it from them.
Right, but I'm just like,
where?
Who? Who is gonna pay me $20 to take their oil? Like, can I, like, do I need to have a secret handshake for this club?
Well, I mean, I just bought a ticket to Saudi Arabia right now. I mean, if you really want some.
You know, it's like the kingdom. You just go in guns blazing and get it yourself.
Yes.
Doesn't that just make you like the U.S. government?
Oh, I mean,
what? No, the government would never do that, bro. Stop.
Oh, right.
All taxes are legal. All wars are justified. You know.
Yeah. Freedom. Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself.
He did.
Or. Dead.
And freedom is slavery.
You fucked it up. Now we're all gonna die.
God, I can't even joke about that one.
I mean, maybe he didn't kill himself. I'm not saying someone killed him. I'm saying maybe he's over on Tupac Island. I mean, we don't really know.
Now, what if Tupac Island is just his island?
What if it's not really Tupac's island? What if it's Elvis's island?
Ooh.
What if Epstein is the reincarnation of Elvis?
I mean, Elvis did marry like a 14-year-old, didn't he?
I have no idea.
Oh, no clue.
He married like his 14-year-old cousin.
I don't like his music, so I don't really care.
Yeah. I don't either. I'm not the biggest
like, fan. Unsubscribe.
Yeah. Okay, boomer.
Right? Jesus Christ, I am almost a boomer. That's fucking just...
Boomer's a mindset, not an age.
Oh, yeah, I feel God, like it's yeah. an age, but I don't know.
It's both.
You're a boomer when you feel like it, you know?
Look, sometimes I've got kids your age, so...
Sometimes yeah. Ooh. Man, well, I had something on my mind. Forget what I was going to say.
Seems to happen a lot. You okay?
I'm very tired, bro.
Yeah, I got like 3 hours of sleep last night.
I was playing, this doesn't sound very Liberty Movement of me, but I was playing Animal Crossing New Horizons all last night. Very
funny. Are you kicking people off your land?
You know, no, I'm working for the benefit of society. I ain't no commie,
though. Ah! Isabel is, though.
Yes. I mean, Omnus is a true capitalist hero.
Hmm.
I mean, I've been playing Minecraft 24/7. But you're fine.
Yes.
Now that is Ancapistan right there.
Yeah, it's just straight up homesteading.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you might have to kill a couple animals, but they're animals.
I mean, you know, I get a little
couple tired. Villagers here and there, but
I'll break a couple eggs to make an omelet or something. Well. Anyone else have anything they want to finish off, close anything before we end today? No?
I mean, do you have any closing statements, Pew? To really make people want to do 3D printing?
I mean, if they don't already, there's something wrong with them.
Right, if you...
This is his segment.
if you could afford it... if you have the means or can find the means or, you know, maybe like mow your neighbor's lawn for a little bit and, you know, just bank up a little extra, buy a printer, have some fun with it. It's a interesting little tech to get into, learn some stuff, learn some new skills, and then maybe roll those skills into a new profession or a new hobby or a new something, you know, when everything starts to collapse in the next 6 months.
Yeah.
That's horrifying to think about. It's
right?
Not what I was expecting in 23 years.
Yeah.
Oh man, but every single year all the girls on social media say this will be our year, guys. I thought they were going to nail it this time.
Yeah. Even I said it was going to be my year, but you know.
Yep. You know,
I mean, I'm having a pretty baller year.
Well, okay.
Other than some events, I'm doing pretty good. But
I'm all right. I just stay inside and play video games all day. So.
That's what I've been doing. Maybe that's why I'm not happy. I don't know.
Where's the serotonin? Oh, God.
Yeah, this definitely isn't the key to happiness.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
I mean, a couple monster energies and you'll be all right.
Stuff is garbage.
I drank too many of those when I was a gas pumper. I was up to two monsters a day. The Mucho Mango.
Oh, okay.
I was
never
downing two of those, and then depending on the day, I'd have one or two triple espressos on top of it, and I did that every day for like a year.
Oh,
so.
God.
What flavor monster?
I think it's called Mucho Mango, something mango.
That's the thing. They don't just have like the standard Kyle Green. They have more than one flavor.
Oh, they have loads of flavors.
Jesus yeah, Christ. I mean, you see the look
they have two. They have two different punches. They have two different. They have two different like fruit punches. They have so many flavors that they have two different ones.
Wow.
Yeah, they have like a white tea, a green tea.
Yeah.
They have like five different coffee ones. There's like the three Kyle flavors where it's just like a claw mark on the can. There's like a yellow, a green, and something else. They have all the Monster Rehab that's like 5% juice, and it's like man, it's like monster juice. It's like 5% juice. They have I don't even know all of them. I used to know because I used to stock the shelves in Quick Check, so I'd see them all. But I don't remember them all. I remember the mango. There's two fruit punches. One's like a little sweeter than the other. The less sweet one's actually kind of okay.
So paying attention for 5 minutes and the whole world changed.
So just curious, James, so do you also mow lawns or and wear sunglasses? Because no. You sound like the real boomer here.
I'm the boomer.
Yeah.
I mean I do mow lawn. I mow my own lawn sometimes when I get paid to do it. But I didn't know that was what made you a boomer, is that you mow your lawn.
That's a little cutout. Monster Energy, grilling, sunglasses, wife beaters.
I didn't think boomers drank Monster. Wouldn't that like give them a heart attack?
No, apparently not. Why do you think
that? I think that's Kyle's that drink Monsters, not boomers.
Yeah, Kyle's
a millennial. Drink Mountain Dew.
No.
No.
Kyle's Monster, bro.
That's the boomers.
It's the gamers, bro. Gamers are on that are on that Mountain Dew life. Boomers don't drink Monster. Boomers go, Monster just tastes like Smarties.
Okay.
Well,
I'm more of a Red Bull guy myself.
I was about to end, but now I gotta say, why Red Bull? God damn it, bro.
Because you can mix it with vodka and it makes the world better.
Oh, I ain't that. I've
actually never done that.
I haven't either, but I have had vodka and it does help make the world better.
Yeah. Yeah, like Jaeger shots or anything. I've never done any of that stuff. I'm scared to mix caffeine. I'm scared to mix alcohol with energy drinks. It just seems like you're asking for a heart attack. So I've never done it yet.
Yeah, my standard is mix anything with coffee, and I'm good.
Yeah. I just
can't do it at work, which sucks.
I put some Irish whiskey and some black coffee the other day.
That's good.
But so to answer the Red Bull question, because Red Bull's pretty tasty, and they also their cranberry and blueberry flavors.
Wait, Red Bull has different flavors now?
Oh god,
this has been like, oh god, you're the boomers that don't know that there's flavors to energy drinks that they've had for like 15 years, dude. They rolled these out when I was in like ninth grade. It was 2013.
Wow. Well, see, this is why that, you know, we don't know any of these things, because, like, we weren't in ninth grade, you know?
Oh.
When you're an adult, you don't drink this stuff anymore.
I feel like you would have seen it in a convenience store, or an advertisement.
Nope.
As soon as you graduate high school, just this comes from invasion.
Well, yeah, there's probably, like, I don't know, like, 7 flavors of Red Bull, I'd say, probably. They have a cranberry and a blueberry. The cranberry and blueberry taste dead on. It doesn't taste like an artificial. Like it doesn't taste like a blueberry candy. It tastes like blueberries, and the cranberry tastes like cranberry juice cocktail, but less sweet.
That sounds good, but I know for a fact the tiny ass town that I live in, we don't have any of that.
I don't do energy drinks. I just drink tea. Seems to work.
That was me, dude. In high school, I was drinking like 6 cups of tea a day.
Yeah,
tea belongs to the harbor.
I don't know, bro. I mean, I import mine directly from China. There was a little like flag in it. It said like the CCP.
So you're patient zero then? Is that what you're saying?
What? damn! I was about to say thank you for coming, Pew, but right before we end. Kim Jong-un is possibly dead or not. I have no clue.
According to even South Korea, he's fine.
Okay.
That's also South Korea.
Whatever happened. But, you know, well, with that, Pew, I'd like to thank you for coming on to the Mess That Is Our Podcast.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, no worries.
I had a pleasure talking to you about Mountain Dew and Red Bull. the original topic of this podcast, by the way.
Right?
Yes.
Planned.
Thank you for coming on. Been a pleasure just chatting with you, even if it wasn't about 3D printing. James, you want to say anything? Joey?
No, I'm good. I think we covered everything.
Pew, if you just want to throw down your links one more time, where people can find you, Twitter, Instagram, websites, any of that stuff?
Yeah, so the most important one is theguide.controlpew.com. Go there, learn the things. I am at ControlPew pretty much everywhere. And then my website, controlpew.com, if you want to find anything else out or any other information around the deterrence defense community, 3D printing guns, and all that sort of fun stuff, go there.
Yeah.
All right.